you doing, everybody? It's Lex and Stacy with Threesome Podcast number 38. My God, I can't believe we have this meaningful stuff to talk about.
I know.
And they laughed. This much meaningful stuff is what I meant.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah. Took you a second, but yeah. I think I have something wrong with me.
Why?
Was it you I was talking to about this? That I was, like, when I type somebody an email, I'll leave out words like and or and is?
No, you weren't talking to me about that.
Where I hear it in my mind, but when I look on the paper, there's like two or three of them always missing.
Is this just like on your computer or on your phone?
On computer. And phone.
See, I do that on phone. And I'm convinced it's autocorrect fucking with me.
Yeah, it could be. It could possibly be, but it just seems to be more prevalent in the last, you know, year or so than the rest of my life, so.
Because there is nothing worse than you have just written, for instance, the most brilliant tweet ever or zinged someone via text and it's amazing and you hit send and then you look and realize, wow, I just wrote like a dyslexic second grader. That sucks.
or you meant to say more and it comes out mop or something like that.
Yes.
It's like, I want to see you some mop tonight.
Yeah, that's really hot, Lex.
Yeah.
I want to smop you, too.
Which is what you want to send to your girlfriend when you want some pussy.
Smop.
I want to see you mop tonight. I want to see you clean. That's what does it for me. After that, you get to cook for me.
Woo. Yeah. Lisa's a lucky gal.
Yeah. Watch out, girls. He's taken. So, yeah, it's just something I've been screwing up lately. So, we always have stupid things to talk about, quirky, stupid, weird things. And we were going over a few things before we went live here. And I have to say, for somebody who said they don't have much, you have some stuff I like.
Really?
Yeah. So, let's just go ahead and get into it.
All right. The first one, this is the one for me personally, just kind of torques me the most. There is a Motel 6, not like the whole chain or anything, but just this one particular location in Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. That basically, no matter who you are, as soon as you check in, they send your information to the local police. They do this for each and every guest, not because you're acting shady or you're, you know, walking in with, you know, meth lab equipment or anything.
Right.
They're going to do this for everybody.
All right. So I'm okay with that if they have signs telling you they're doing that.
They don't. They absolutely will not.
Then somebody has to call the ACLU immediately.
They're already on it.
Yeah.
The Rhode Island chapter of the ACLU is already condemning the information sharing policy. And the executive director, Stephen Brown, says, quote, "A family on vacation should not be fearful that police may come knocking on the door in the middle of the night, courtesy of the motel, because dad has an outstanding parking ticket that he never paid."
Right. Not good for tourism. Not good for the local economy in the long run. They may think they're doing some good, but they're actually doing harm, I think.
Well, the reason why they're doing this is because this, and again, it's not the entire chain. In fact, the chain, corporate Motel 6, is like, actually, where they're saying, we're still trying to put together a statement addressing this. They don't even know how to address this.
Right.
But the reason why this is happening is because this particular location, there was like child porn filmed in one of the rooms, and I guess someone had stayed a couple days, and when they left, they realized that they had in fact had like an entire meth lab set up in there.
All right, listen, that's cool, but if you're going to do this, you really need to put a sign out front that states, "We run all of our customers' names to the local police department." So if you have any warrants or have any things out there, you may want to go stay somewhere else.
It says, this story, guests will not be informed that their presence at the motel is being relayed to the police. They'll have no chance to ask questions. And if they're uncomfortable with being surveyed while they're on probation, take their business elsewhere. They won't have any of those opportunities. It's just your info's just being sent off to the police.
Yeah, well, if that's the way it is, I do believe it's our right to know they're doing that.
Yes.
And if you want to live and die by the sword, then you should tell people you're doing it and give them the option to not stay there. That way you won't have any meth labs. You won't have any kiddie porn. You also won't have any customers.
True. Because there are those people that will be like, well, I'm going to stay here because it's surely the safest motel in this area of Rhode Island.
Yeah, there are some of those people. But if that kind of stuff was going on there, let me guess before I even see the place that it's probably not the vacation spot of a lifetime.
And that's the thing, too. I mean, I can't believe that this now is like groundbreaking, like the very first time this has ever happened. And so I just wonder, I'm going to guess they got this model from someplace else. So how many hotels and motels that people might be staying at are doing this? Because again, if they're not telling their guests, how do you know?
Yeah, it's something that crosses my mind at times. That maybe if I'm staying in a really good hotel, that might be happening. And then there's the side of me that thinks, if you have good hotel money, even if you're a James Bond villain, you're welcome to stay and spend all the money you want because they know you're too smart to kill people and stuff.
Or if you are, you've got a cleaner that comes along behind you and makes the room look nice and fresh.
Exactly. You got your shit together.
Yes. The room is nicer when you leave than when you first went in.
Because if I'm a hotel manager of a five-star hotel, that's exactly my thought. Had the cleaner do their job? Okay. That's fine. As long as our shit looks good.
Even under a black light.
Do we have them under surveillance? No. We're a five-star hotel. No. We don't have to put people under surveillance.
Exactly. Especially those places, because they cater to the rich and famous, yeah. They're actually very good at hiding their guests.
That's right.
You know, they pride themselves on discretion.
Now, let's guess. Who's making more money?
Probably not the Motel 6 in whatever town that is in Rhode Island.
No.
It's Warwick, Rhode Island, if anyone's traveling in that area.
So, looking at the area they're in, I kind of get where they're coming from. These are probably some people that bought this franchise, you know, this location, and got more than they bargained for, and they're just trying to rein things in. I get it. I do. They're probably very nice people. They probably are just trying to clean their act up so people will come stay there, especially after some bad publicity. But
I would think, though, it would... If the rowdies, and I feel so old for saying that, if the rowdies knew that this was up, I would think the simple act of putting signs up, whether you're telling the police or not that you're reporting everybody, just the act of putting signs up would deter a lot of would-be criminals, I would think.
What's wrong with putting a sign up that says, due to the past, strange behavior will be reported to the police? That way, if you check in as the Griswolds and you are just a little vacationing family, you don't even think about that twice. It's like, we're not going to have strange behavior. Let's go. If you're building a meth lab, you're going to think, yeah, there might be better places to go than this one. I don't like those signs.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a way to do it. This is probably just some very scared people, probably just barely making their bills every month, just trying to hold on to their business and trying to stop the bleeding of some really bad crime coming through, and I understand all that, but they really should have called an attorney to let them know probably the most diplomatic way to handle this.
An attorney and a PR team.
Yeah.
Because I think any PR person worth their salt is going to say, maybe you should put some signs up.
Yeah.
Just let people know what you're doing.
Yeah. Even have some sort of, you know, framed in mission statement at your lobby that says, we've been here for 20 something years and everything has a history, and part of ours has been some bad crimes have been done here. So to protect you and to protect us, we put up signs and inform you that if we see strange behavior, we are going to call the authorities. That is for your protection and ours, and that's just the way we do things. If I see something like that, I'm like, okay, I'm going to sleep pretty good here tonight if I'm not doing anything wrong.
Right.
But
you have anything, again, you know, an unpaid ticket somewhere or a bounced check, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're not just reporting suspicious activity. They're reporting everybody.
And maybe you make a deal with the cops where you say, look, don't shake somebody down for a ticket warrant or something like that. I really need you to use your discretion when you come get somebody.
Right.
Because, you know, there is tourism here. We're trying to survive as a hotel, but we're also trying to get away from some bad stuff that has happened. So why don't you look the other way on stuff like that so we can tell people you look the other way on stuff like that?
If you've only raped one, you're okay. But if you're a serial rapist, your ass is grass.
Well, listen, if you've raped, it means you got caught and that you're that it's on your record.
And you're on the run.
Yeah. And if there's a rape runner there, then you got to come get him.
Yes.
You don't want your rape guy swimming in the pool with your kids. Ew.
Yes.
I don't even like adult men talking to Samantha, even if it's like another girl's dad at a horse show. You know, anything past a 30-second conversation, because that's all I believe you can really have that's meaningful with a teenager. I get a little daddy bear protective over that. Like, yeah, let's move along here. Let's go.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel bad for guys. You know, like older men who are not married for whatever reason, who maybe, you know, was a Boy Scout, an Eagle Scout, and wants to be a scout leader. I know personally guys who have said, I would never even attempt because I know what people are going to think of me.
I wouldn't even do it with a wife and two kids in a wood paneled station wagon. Fuck that. I don't do anything there's no upside on. And on that, right. There isn't. And people fault me for that, but boy, it's gotten me a long way. I may end up at the pearly gates with God going, why didn't you do these things that would have benefited young men? I would have said, hey, the chance of me being labeled something I'm not was there, so I didn't do it. You gave me a brain. I used it. What do you want?
And it is too bad, of course, then, you know, as soon as you get over that, then there is that rash of, you know.
Why'd you put guys on earth that put me in this position? That's the question I have for you.
Yes. Lex turns it around, around on God.
Yeah. I put spin on God. Why'd you even make a Boy Scouts? It sucks. You know, so you get a fucking neckerchief for walking in the woods. Big fucking deal.
A neckerchief.
Yeah. That's what they are, man.
I know.
And then you make us make our own, like, neckerchief holder so it goes around your neck okay. I never made it to Boy Scouts. I did my 2 years in Cub Scouts that I was made to do, and then I was out.
Yeah.
Done. Like, do you want to be in the Boy Scouts next year? If you have some bamboo shoots to drive up my fingernails first, yes.
Now, because I'm not going to rip on Boy Scouts. I mean, I don't appreciate their stance on gays and stuff.
No.
But I do know that for those that go make it all the way through and become Eagle Scouts, that is a huge deal. I have a lot of Eagle Scouts in my family. And that is something that even as an adult man, you know, who's like 20 years into his career, you can put that on your resume that you're an Eagle Scout and it means something.
It sure does.
It does. Stop.
It means you scout boys. You're a Boy Scout.
Whatever.
If I'm the employer, I'm like, out. Next. I don't need any overachievers. I just don't.
Not in radio, no.
Not anywhere. Not any business I have. I don't need some kiss-ass overachiever. I want the unwanted. I want the total right brain creative. I don't give a fucks. That's what wins.
I love those people.
Mm-hmm. I had so much trouble with my boss in Jacksonville. He was your boss, too.
Yes. Yes.
Because he wanted my employment structure to look a certain way. And I had certain jobs I wanted people to do. They weren't for everybody. It took a certain type of person that had a business acumen and creativity intelligence quotient that I looked for. And that's hard to find. What comes along with that are people that kind of work outside the 9-to-5 umbrella.
Right.
So my deal, long before Google did it, was like, all you fuckers can come and go as you please. I have no problem with that. But this is your...
Except during your air shift.
Well, yeah. Some of these people weren't air people.
Okay.
And, like production and promotions and stuff like that. I'm like, you do whatever you want. You are to be at mandatory meetings and you are to be taking care of your workload as it is in your job description. And
right,
I don't give
a shit done.
And I don't give a fuck what 24 hours a day you use to do that. As long as I am never having to track you down and you aren't making me look bad, I am cool with it.
Right.
There's our talk. Good luck. And it worked great. And he'd come into my office and he'd see me up with my feet on my desk and on the phone with somebody. And, you know, down the hall's Jeff McCartney, who's just like wheeling and dealing on the phones and, you know, holding meetings and going to air check meetings and, blah, 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 you know. And he's like, I'm sending Jeff to a symposium. Would you like to join him? I said, why are you sending him there? So he can make up the 4 SharePoints he's lost to us? He says, he really works hard. And I said, yes, he does. He's an exemplary employee. He's awesome at what he does, but he and I do things differently. But we're both getting some super results for you, aren't we? So if it's not in your little box, sorry. But I'm performing the job. I have control of all my employees. I'm sorry it doesn't look good to you, the way I do things, the way I dress, the way I sit around here and look like I do nothing, because I pretty much do, because I hired people that do somethings for me, and all
exactly.
I do is keep track of their somethings and add them up, and they all become my achievement. It's pretty diabolical, don't you think?
Like a good boss.
That's the way it's supposed to be. You don't get in your employee's business. You're the hardest part of your job is finding somebody that does their thing within the parameters of your thing. That's it.
Right. Now, question for you. We're going way off on like a business tangent. From a management standpoint, would you agree with you having been PD that if you found yourself in a situation like, you know, there was a catastrophic car accident and the person who always did afternoons on Saturday couldn't make it in, and it just so happened one of those moments of weirdness where absolutely no one else could cover that shift, you would obviously come in and do it, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
My last boss did not subscribe to that. If people couldn't show up for something, then it just didn't get done.
Yeah, that's not an option. Your job is 24/7, you know, right. And you're going to have shit happen. It just is. It's going to happen. Even somebody who runs a 9-to-5 job, you know, things happen where they get calls at 4 a.m. Hey, my son's in the hospital. I can't come in. You know, you got to cover that. You got to figure out a way to make that work. That's your job.
Even at McDonald's, you know, if your morning crew, for whatever reason, can't make it in, guess what? Guess who's there flipping the lights on and turning on the coffee machine?
That's right. And there's a certain gratification to that. There's if you like your job, you like putting out fires and solving situations that are put before you. It makes you realize you can do what you're supposed to do. Gives you purpose. Right. It just never crossed my mind ever to not go in and cover a shift if it needed to be covered.
Right.
I mean, after all, what am I doing on Sunday afternoon? Nothing.
Well, that was the thing. This was because I was the PD there at my last job, and he was the general manager, and he had never stepped inside a radio station ever in his life because he ran a newspaper. Don't get me started on that. And we had a remote. It was our biggest remote of the year. Me and my morning partner were doing it as a duo, and one of the part-timers was supposed to be back at the station getting us on the air. And, of course, I had to explain to him prior to this, I mean, long before this, that, you know, salespeople, if you sell the remote, that salesperson is supposed to be there. You know, that never happened.
Which is pretty standard procedure just about everywhere.
Well, again, if you had stepped inside another radio station, you would know that.
Yeah.
But I was the bitch. And so this huge remote, and the salesperson didn't show up.
You're still
and
a bitch.
Our part-timer didn't show up back at the station. And I am calling him. He is not answering his phone, my boss, because I need him to tell the salesperson to get their ass there. We needed the help. You know, it was just like, fucking kidding me.
Right.
He wouldn't answer his phone. So I ended up leaving my partner there alone with all the equipment, the tent, everything, you know, trying to do this like big, huge remote so that I could go back to the station to put him on the fucking air. And then I found out later that my general manager is golfing.
Yeah. That's hard to digest, but When you run a place, you got to run it. That means doing whatever it takes.
Yeah, he didn't get that. He'd cut out at 2 so he could make it to the bar, and he would park behind the bar so people driving by wouldn't see his car there.
Wow.
Douchebag.
Yeah, I worked for a guy like that once, and I knew my time was short there, that I was leaving town. So I ran into him at ABC Liquors in Gainesville one night. And
I've been there.
Yeah. And he's like sitting at the bar like he always is. You know, because mommy owned the radio station and he just, you know, really didn't know what the fuck he was doing. And I went in, I said, why do you do this if you don't like it? And he goes, I do like it. You know, I just don't get any respect from anybody, and it makes me angry. And I said, you're not going to get respect like that. I said, nobody respects you because they know you don't give a fuck. And they know that you know you're not going to get fired. And so you pretty much do whatever the fuck you want. And people don't trust you. You haven't exhibited anything to them that you really care about the radio station. You just kind of care about, you know, a couple of things that have something to do with money. I said, you cut commercials all over the fucking place. You've never been on the radio before.
Oh, one of those people. Yeah.
I said, and I'll tell you what nobody else has the balls to tell you. They're not good.
Good for you.
Just letting you know that I tell you this in kind of a cowardly way because I'm leaving town and I don't, you know, you can fire me before my time's up or whatever. But I'm just trying to tell you, if you want people to like you, you got to act like you want to be there. I said, because people do have some nice things to say about you. You know, I said there's people like John and Lois and all that have, you know, a degree of, you know, feelings for you from a friend standpoint. And kind of have your back at times, but they shake their head sometimes because they can't. I said, and it's got to change. The culture's got to change that the only place we can find you is here. At the bar.
Just a helpful life tip, folks. If you have to hide your car, you're probably doing something wrong. You know, you should just stop and take a step back and go, why am I doing this? Because I'm hiding my car so people don't know that I am at a bar drinking at 2 in the afternoon. When all of my employees who make so much less than me are putting in way more hours than that.
So the next day after having this inspiring talk with him that I felt all good for myself for, 3 boxes full of reel-to-reel tapes show up and this giant box, which is a automation machine. And his plan was to let everybody go.
Nice. And I've worked with one of those reel-to-reel automation machines.
And
where you put the carts in the carousel.
Yeah. And everybody
so
started
old.
And everybody started taking the reel-to-reel tapes to make air checks. So there was like 3 boxes of reel-to-reel tapes and, you know, it was like, where's the strawberries? You know, Kane Mutiny. He was like going around. He goes, we ordered 3 boxes of reel-to-reel tapes. And it was like 3 days before I was leaving. I went, oh, Irv, don't you remember our talk about people wanting to trust you and wanting to support you? Well, they saw the automation machine and the reel-to-reel tapes, and they put them to good use. He goes, that is a criminal offense. I said, well, you're going to have to prove it. He goes, did you use it to get a job? I went, I can only speak for me. No, I didn't, because I already got myself a new job. But, and I wanted to tell him so bad. The guy that hired me at that job is still here, and he's on his way to that job, and he's the one who hired me.
So suck it.
I mean, it's like, what a fucking asshole.
I hate people. I really do.
And all these commercials sounded like this. But I'm the only one that got to tell him he sucks. Yeah, you're not good. My 20-year-old ass in there.
Good for you.
Not giving a shit. My first lesson in life of not giving a shit. So, I was like, wow, this is really liberating. I'll be doing this some more.
I got to do that once. And it was this PD who just made my life miserable. Oh, I look back at this now and know that I was just like abused. I worked the overnight shift. So I worked from, I can't remember, it was 11 or midnight till 6 in the morning. Some mornings, if like one of the morning people didn't come in, then I would also then have to do the morning show. So my on-air, you know, awake time is like from 11 until possibly 9 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then he had me come in every night, Fridays included, every night at 7 o'clock to air check with me. But there would be times he would sit there and literally I would have to sit there in the office, the waiting area, sometimes until 10 o'clock because he was doing other stuff. It was a total power trip. And then he would just send me home. Or there were times that he would sit and yell at me until it was time for me to go on the air. Wow. Literally, I am not exaggerating. And an employee took him to court for back pay that they didn't get or something. And I had been asked to come in as a witness, but the judge decided that I didn't need to be a witness. And so he and I ended up outside the courtroom alone together. And I sat there for 45 minutes across the hall. We're both sitting on benches and just let him know what a piece of shit he was. And after the years of just awfulness that he was to me, he just sat and took it. It was such a good
show. Yeah, because they're pussies. Those are the guys that are pussies. No question about it.
And he was also, daddy had bought the radio station for him.
Yeah, those are the entitled guys that are just giant pussies, and that's their little power trip, and you know, they go home and laugh about it with their gay lover or whatever the case is.
It was his bitch wife and his atrocious children.
Or a bitch wife and atrocious children. Yes. In my instance, it was a gay lover twice, so.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But the...
Wait, he was a gay guy named Irv?
No, he wasn't gay. He had no... Oh. He had, I don't know what he was. No, neither gender wanted him.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. But he really should go gay. I think he had a better chance there. So, you know, it's...
If you can't find sex on Craigslist, there's something really wrong with you.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah. And you're one of the few people in Gainesville with some bank in the 70s. You know, it's... It really, you know, if you can't score pussy with that, somebody that needs to, you know, needs a little extra money to pay their tutors, then you're a sad sack. And he was. All right, so time to wrap this up. Enjoyed the conversation. That was a great story. I'm going to keep an eye on that as far as Motel
Warwick,
6 goes.
Rhode Island, folks.
Yep, ACLU at it again. We'll see how that one turns out. So go to thethreesomepodcast.com and grab our podcast. You can do that. This is episode 38, but we got 37 more you can go get. And if you haven't done so yet, then you're missing out on some great stuff. So by all means, go ahead and do that. And thank you, Stacy. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, Lex. It's always a pleasure.
Yes. Till next time, my dear. Bye.
Bye-bye.